Gloom, despair, agony on me. Do you remember that line? Came from Hee Haw. For some strange reason, I forgot the next line, but you get the point. Life is full of problems. If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. The first verse of which clearly spells out that life is full of troubles and problems. The suffering servant Job was faced with a number of maladies, situations, trials, and tribulations. In verse 1 of chapter 14, we read, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest until he shall accomplish as an hireling his day." Again, it's pointed out in our text that life is full of troubles. It's full of problems. Oftentimes, our problems prevent us from doing things we would like to do. A lot of times, our problems are brought on us by ourselves. We have some who are not with us today because of health issues. Those problems are preventing them from being here. We have others who are returned, and we are glad for their return, but all of life, we're going to have problems. And the thing about these problems, some of these can be fixed, others not. Some are brought on by ourselves, others not so much. Some we can have a modicum of control over and can be addressed. Others are out of our control and therefore simply have to be endured. Those of which we speak today are those upon which we can have an impact and perhaps can overcome. These problems of life over which we have no control are out of our hands, and there's therefore no need to worry about them. But those over which we have control need to be dealt with. There are also some things which need to be done in regard to problems, and this will help the Christian and the alien sinner as well. Let's look into these this morning. First and foremost, we must identify the problem and its causes. A lot of times, we can better understand the problem if we know what caused it. I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verses 9, beginning. And we're going to go back to the garden. We're going to ask this question. What was the cause of Adam's problem? His particular problem in these passages, we're going to see, is that he was afraid. Why was he afraid? Would he admit that he was the cause? So in identifying the problem, he would have to identify the cause or the reason the problem existed. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." We see something within Adam there, while not untrue, also shows how man is often today. In identifying a problem and its causes, we often try to look to others. Whose fault was it? And we look at this and we say, well, he blamed the woman. Now, look at it closely. Who did he really blame? He said, "The woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit, and I did eat it." He didn't fully identify the problem. He knew well why he was naked and why he was afraid by being naked. He also knew the cause. Let's turn then to James chapter 1, verses 12 beginning. We're going to see that in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, there are situations that must be identified. We must look into the causes. We need to ask ourselves as we look at James chapter 1, verses 12 and following, do I, because of my weaknesses, cause the problem? If so, what is the result? Can I not avoid this? Remember, we're identifying the problem and its causes. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now, temptation is not something that we cause. It's something that happens to us, something that is placed before us. But it tells why that person is to be happy. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. When a temptation happens, it did not come from God. In fact, it did not come from any other outside source, because we see as we continue to read in verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. When we're looking at the problem, we were looking at the causes, we perhaps also ought to look at the result. If I continue in this problem, what's going to happen? If I continue not addressing this problem, something that I have power over, what's going to be the end result? Let's look at the example of Naomi in Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. We know what happened here, but choices had to be made. As we look at these women that are talked about here, who made the choice to depart? And you say, well, there was a famine in the land. Of course there was. But the choice was made to depart, and unfortunately, while they were away, when they were in the land of Moab, her husband passed away. Her sons passed away, who had taken wives of those women of Moab. Whose choice was it to return? Now let's see what was said there. Speaking of Ruth and Naomi. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Know that choices have consequences. Understand fully that when Naomi went to Moab, or to Moab, to dwell among the Moabites, God did not afflict her for that. Her husband did not die simply because he made the choice to pick up his family and move somewhere else. Time and chance happeneth to us all. We're all going to die. And not all deaths are brought about as a result of the things that we bring upon ourselves. Sometimes it just happens. But the choices we make, whether it be in death, whether it be, you know, the things that bring about our death, or whether the things that change or alter our life, have consequences. We all need to be aware of the fact that while we need to identify the problem, while we need to identify the causes, we have a limited time here on earth. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. A very important passage, one that is oftentimes abused. A saying from that passage is oftentimes tossed around, perhaps not fully understanding what is being said. It is telling us that we have a limited amount of time here on the earth. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Verse 15 is the verse that causes a lot of people problems. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. Oftentimes at the conclusion of services, I'm standing at the back and greeting people as they're coming or going, actually. I say, see you tonight. And they say, if the Lord will. When would the Lord not will that you be at services? Maybe it's something we ought to think about. Maybe it's also something we ought to look into. It's important that we understand God wills that we do good. It's our will that we're following if we don't come back. It's our will if we're following, if we can't identify the problem of why we don't come back. Know that also passages in the Old Testament taught the limited time that we have to identify the problem and its causes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. As the wise man was directed to write in this particular volume, he was directed to write these words. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. But friends, any problems that we have can be identified. We can identify the causes. And Christ came, according to John chapter 16 and verse 33, so that the problems of the world need not bother us. While we can identify them, and we can identify which ones can be addressed, which ones cannot be addressed, there is no need for these to bother us to the point of not being able to serve God. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." There are no problems, regardless of their causes, they cannot be overcome. But we must determine if the problem can be solved, and then take steps to solve it. That is key to problems. Being a Christian does not mean having to address problems alone. Acts chapter 22, verses 22 and following. I've said many times, or had people say to me several times, I can't do this by myself. Nobody's asking you to, because we're never alone. If we are a child of God, we are never alone. Even when the Apostle Paul wrote at my first answer, no man stood with me. But he was not alone. The Lord was with him. And the Lord will be with us in our problems and our issues, if we're looking to the Lord, if we're serving the Lord. And that's part of determining if the problem can be solved. It's part of the steps that need to be taken to solve it. Paul used the situation and circumstances with the help of the Spirit to change the outcome. In Acts chapter 22, we see, and they gave him audience unto this word, and he lifted up their voices, and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live." You see what they wanted to be done with Paul? The chief captain commanded him to be brought out to the castle, and bade him that he should be examined by scourge, that he may know wherefore they cried so against him. He was going to get to the bottom of the situation. All this did was bring more pain and discomfort upon Paul. They bound him with thongs. Paul said to the centurion that stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?" Paul knew the law. He was a citizen of Rome. And he used the law to his advantage. When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, "Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman." Then the chief captain came and said unto him, "Tell me, art thou a Roman?" And he said, "Yea." Imagine, if you will, they'd already beaten him or scourged him. You look up scourging, you'll see what that means. They were going to bind him. They were going to punish him. The people wanted him killed. And the chief captain answered, "With a great sum obtained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." Paul was born a Roman citizen. Verse 29 says, "Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him." It's important that we understand, if the problem can be solved, we ought to take the right steps. We have to address the issue. What is the problem? That's identify the problem. What caused it? Remove the cause. A lot of times the problem goes away. Determine if the problem can be solved. If it can be solved, take the steps to solve it. As you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 through 22, know that we can't always change our physical status, but we can always use it. We may have limitations physically that prevent us from doing certain things. participating in certain things, accomplishing certain things. In this particular passage, it says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. Be not anxious about it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. While we're determining if problems can be solved and taking the steps to solve it, we need to ask ourselves, are we the cause of the problem? We need to be honest. And then we need to have the confidence that we can overcome it, then do everything that we can to overcome it. Since we're talking about spiritual situations and the condition of soul, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. Know that we can overcome temptation. Know that we can overcome the things that would so easily beset us and keep us from following the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You can overcome. He says, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Also in Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, part of being able to know if the problem can be solved and being able to take steps to solve it entails being given the means to succeed. We have, as children of God, been given the means whereby we can overcome the world's problems, whereby we can do the things that God would have us to do. And the Apostle Paul here says, as directed by the Spirit, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. In verse 13, a well-known passage, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If the problem can be solved through Christ, we can solve that problem. There's always something to be done if it's an issue that we can address. And there's also benefit by taking appropriate action. In Luke chapter 16, we'll see that Jesus spoke about a situation that existed. And even though these people were not serving God, and this is talking about a physical relationship and reward that might come as a result, or punishment that might come as a result of problems that we have created on our own, but there are steps that can be taken. Luke 16. These steps need to be taken so that we see, need not suffer needlessly. He said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said with himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me my stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put to the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. He was looking out for number one, wasn't he? So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Notice the point here. In verse 9, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fall or fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations, their reward. Then he closed this so that these people would understand what he was talking about. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much. in much, or unjust also in much. And so if the problem can be solved, we are to address it. We are to move forward confidently to solve this. But what about problems that cannot be solved? What about issues and circumstances and situations that are absolutely beyond our control? What to do? Surprisingly, the Bible clearly tells us that we should bear it as a Christian should. First, we need to put things into perspective. Relative to others, we see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, that all are going to face problems in this life. We are all going to face situations and issues, troubles and trials and tribulations, problems which need to be solved. Some can be identified. The causes of them can be identified. We can solve the problem if we can. We are to take steps to do it. But if they cannot be solved, bear it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now that doesn't mean just give up. I hear people all the time say, and hold your finger there, we're going to go back to that passage. I hear people all the time say, I'm just putting it in the Lord's hands. That's good to do. It's good if you can turn something over to the Lord. But that doesn't relinquish your responsibility toward it. It doesn't mean that you won't bear whatever burden it is. And we clearly see this because in verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. When we have problems, and if they cannot be solved, we are to bear them as a Christian, but we are also to realize and understand we're not the only ones. Others have problems, do they not? Others have trials and tribulations. We perhaps need to bear it relative to our pending eternity. How often do we think about our eternity when we're dealing with problems? You know what? I'm afraid that when the problems are massive, that's when people begin to think about eternity. When the problems are perhaps life-changing, life-altering, or life-ending, that's when people begin to think about eternity. But as you turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, know that there's always hope for the child of God. There is nothing that can happen to us in this life that can diminish that hope. Even Jesus said, don't be afraid of what man can do to you, to the body. We're not to fear what man can do. But notice what Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, speaking to Christians, the Christians at Rome, it also applies to us, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He provided the means whereby we could be the children of God, and as such, prepare ourselves to spend eternity with him. While these problems can't be served, bearing it as a Christian means that we will take comfort in God's love and care. Just like the temptations in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he's not going to put anything on us that we cannot bear. No, he doesn't put these things on us anyway. But he's always providing the means whereby we can be comforted. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, we see this. This was, of course, written to the Hebrew Christians, those who had come out of Judaism, converted into Christianity, having heard the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being baptized into Christ, and were being enticed into going back under an old law that no longer existed, that no longer had any benefit whatsoever. They were told to take comfort in God's love and care. We too can take comfort in God's love and care. Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. How many of us, when we're dealing with problems, think about the good things, the good aspect, the what few pleasures life provides for us? I think that's the difference in a glass half full person and a glass half empty person. But what does the rest of the passage say? For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Is there not comfort in the fact that God is always available to us? That he has promised us that he will ultimately take us to be with him if we have been obedient, if we remain faithful? In that situation, and because of that, in verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. By the same token, we should not fear whatever might happen to us here on this earth. What things might come upon us, even those things which are not caused by us, which are not brought on to us by our own failures. But always living, taking comfort in God's love and care, even in the midst of problems, even the ones that cannot be resolved here in this life. How do we do it? Perhaps if we focus on heaven. Think about it. What do all or any of the problems of this life have in comparison to heaven? This life will be over when souls enter heaven. And if we focus on heaven, if we focus upon serving God and doing his will, many of the problems will be solved. Does it mean that pain won't continue? Does it mean that trials and tribulation won't come? Does it mean that we won't suffer? But it does mean that those problems are being addressed. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12, reading through verse 14, we see that the Apostle Paul was directing these brethren, and by extension directing us, as the Spirit gave him the inspired word. And he used himself as an example. And as he wrote to those brethren, and as it applies to us, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, I've not already reached the ultimate goal. I've not made my journey complete. I've not completed my time here. I've still got things to bear. I've still got problems that may be solved. I've still got steps to take to solve the problems. I've got problems to identify. And then ask myself, is it me? Am I causing the problem? He said, I've not already attained, not already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's already saying, I've not made it yet, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Try this as we have problems. Difficulties, no matter what they are. Think about heaven. Think about, what do I need to do to get there? How do I need to live that I may continue on the path to heaven? Reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The article in the bulletin this week was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If we don't have a problem, we don't need to mess with the situation. But the biggest problem that man has today in this world is the condition of his soul. We might not think that when we have pains, when we have discomfort, when we have injuries, when we have illnesses and diseases. Perhaps at that very moment in our mind, that's the most important thing there is. When I inadvertently wrapped my wrist on the pulpit stand right before services this morning, I'll guarantee you what I thought about from here to the back door. That hurt. But what are we to think about? We're to think about, where am I going to spend eternity? That's our problem. We are in a world of sin. We live in a world that is full of sin. But God has provided the means that this soul need not suffer for eternity. Where will it spend eternity? What am I going to do about my soul today? What can I do for my soul as I deal with the problems of life so that I can spend eternity with God? Friends, there's only one answer to that. That is, identify the problem and its causes. This soul may be lost. Why? Would be my fault if that's the case. Can the problem be solved? Yes, it can. How do we know? God's word says so. Then take the steps to solve it. What are those steps? There's only one way to solve the problem of sin. That is to begin by obeying the gospel. We begin by hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Secondly, we are to believe that Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24. Jesus himself said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sin. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. What to do about that problem? Begin by repenting. Having heard the word and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, one is to repent, as Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 clearly tells us. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Having done these things, one is then and should be willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus himself said, Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. And yes, one must be baptized into Christ. This is the only way to solve the problem of sin. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Having done these things, that does not mean that there will not be ongoing problems. And therefore the Christian, whole congregations and individuals alike, are told to remain faithful. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Friends, when that crown of life is presented, there are no more problems. There are no more causes for problems. And because there are no problems, there's no steps left to perform to do away with those problems. But even as Christians, we have problems. Sometimes that problem is sin. God has also planned and indicated how this problem is to be addressed. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, one who is an erring Christian is to repent and pray. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I don't know the problems that are in your life today, but I do know that God has told us in his word, if that problem is sin, it can be addressed. The root cause of it can be addressed. The end result toward which it's leading can be addressed. And it can be addressed this day. If you're not a child of God, you need to put on Christ in baptism. If you are a child of God and you've allowed sin to enter into your life and you're being controlled or allowing yourself to be controlled by sin, you must return in repentance and prayer. You do so if your need is yours, right now, as together we stand and sing.